aviation, and passages. Are you the same safe pilot you used to be? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. It's a newsletter you can read online. Details will be coming in a few minutes. Bob also operates Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated at the Buffalo Lancaster Airport in Western New York. Bob, first of all, welcome in.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
I want to talk about something called Passages, which I got out of the October issue of Over the Airwaves. And you talk about Gail Sheehy's book, Passages, and you kind of relate some of the themes in the book to our experiences as we go through life in aviation. Tell us where you tied those two together philosophically.
You know, very good question, Paul. And where I did tie them together is we've all been surprised when we see a 10,000 or a 20,000 hour pilot make a stupid mistake and die as a result. When we see an accident with a high time aviator, and you ask yourself, why in the world could that have possibly happened? You would expect something like that from a very low-time novice pilot. And it became apparent to me that because I'm rapidly getting into that age of becoming one of these senior pilots who have lots of hours and find myself and my approach to flying changing. And Passages is a landmark book that Gail Sheehy wrote a number of years ago that describes what we as adults go through, particularly in the context of marriage. When we marry in our 20s, we're different people than we are when we're in our 30s and so forth in our 40s. And the ideal marriage, of course, is when the couples can go through these changes together at the same rate and they grow old together. But many marriages fail because one person changes rather dramatically and steps outside of the normal progression of the passage of time. Well, this became apparent to me in aviation, even in my, as I said earlier, in my own story, that we find ourselves going through these changes where our approach to flying, and I've said it before, it changes. As new pilots, we're apprehensive somewhat. As instrument pilots, you know, we're curious. But as we get into the 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 hour mark up in our 50s and our 60s, our approaches to flying begin to go down different passages. And I can compare and contrast somebody like Sully Sullenberger, who landed the disabled Airbus 320 in the Hudson River with Marvin Renslow, Continental 3407, two different types of pilots. These passages, Paul, are predictable in most cases. We should grow in stature, in wisdom, in skill, but at times we don't. And there are warning signs when that's about to happen.
These guys had both been through training of some, you know, some consequence. But I think when I look back at Sully's career, you know, learning to fly in a crop duster when he was a teenager and going on through the Air Force and all the other different kinds of experience he had, I find it hard to think of him in the same specific context as I do the guys who are, you know, have a couple of years in at the regionals now.
But there are many, many very fine 25-year-old airline pilots who go through and are, you know, are wisdom-filled and their skills are there and they're careful and they're attentive to what they're doing. And then there are individuals such as the captain of 3407. I would argue that there was a passage there that the captain of 3407 might have departed from. Something in his approach to flying differed from his contemporaries. He was an outlier, if you will, in the sense that something was taking place in his style of flying that differentiated him from hundreds, if not thousands, of other pilots. What was it? Were there warning signs that that should have become apparent to him that perhaps his approach to flying was different than the standard? Comparing them to Sully, there are, as you know, 30,000-hour pilots out there who die mm-hmm. at the controls of an airplane at their own as a result of their own misjudgment. You know, the classic case of I think it was an Eastern Airlines pilot, if I'm not mistaken, but it was one of the legacy carrier pilots, a 32,000-hour pilot flying his own 172 and died at the end of the runway because he failed to take the control lock out of the yoke. you know, how does an individual with this many hours of flying, you know, allow him to succumb to such a simple oversight? What I'm trying to say is, as we age in flying, one would expect, and in most cases, we become sharper, more skilled, more wisdom-filled, and we make fewer mistakes than we do as a young novice pilot. That's the norm. We'd like to think that's the norm. But some of us, you know, we'll get to a point like a person in their third decade of marriage all of a sudden strays. You know, they cheat on their spouse. They begin engaging in activities which you and I would hopefully not think of doing. That was a passage that they're going down that's a very dangerous road to go. And what I'm trying to point out in this article, there are things that are signs that will lead us to become aware. For example, it might be a near miss or with another aircraft, or it might be tangling up with bad weather where it just scares us to death. Those are obvious signs, and it causes us to, when we land, to rethink, you know, should I have done that? Would I have ever done that again? Those are the easy indicators.
Well, Bob, I know you have written in Over the Airwaves in the October edition in this article about some of the less obvious signs. Let's talk about those after the break. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, talking about the point that we reach in our careers, or in some cases, obviously, maybe multiple points or plateaus, where we are not the same pilot we were when we started out. And Bob, you talked about some of the things that can really kind of take us by the shirt lapels and shake, you know, having an encounter with bad weather that really rattles us, or a near miss with another aircraft that maybe cause us to pause and legitimately question how seriously we're taking this or how close our attention is being paid. But you also talk about some more subtle signs. Go through some of those for us, because maybe these will ring a bell.
Sure. These are what I call the less obvious ones. And just for our listeners, and particularly our more seasoned aviators, think about the last time you flew. Did you really, really engage or partake in an active weather briefing, or was it an abbreviated briefing? Did you push through that pre-flight inspection, kick the tires, light the fires, and go because you know your airplane so well that you don't have to do that thorough pre-flight inspection? How about a skip checklist item, or a skip checklist altogether? We get into our airplane, we put the key in, you know, we prime it, and we take off and go and never think of that checklist. Here's one that's a pet peeve of mine: to take off to go from point A to point B and not check in with ATC. Air traffic control is the best bargain in general aviation today. It's free. It's one of the only free, totally free services that we have. Checking in with ATC is a way of having a second or third member in the cockpit that is keeping us safe and separated from other aircraft. How about the absence of recurrent training? You know, when we were young and foolish in this business, we went out and we attended safety seminars and we got that next rating. But a lot of us senior pilots go out there and we haven't been in a recurrent training session in months, if not years. And I think one of the most subtle warning signs, and this is one that I fight every day, and that is something I call the resignation of fitness. all of a sudden we begin to let ourselves go physically. You know, we're gaining weight. We're gaining lots of weight. We're getting older. We're not as nimble as we used to be. We've kind of tossed in the towel. You know, when we used to get in that airplane, we were svelte 170 pounds, and now we're 230 pounds. These are warning signs, because that particular category leads to, you know, bad things like failed medicals, high blood pressure, diabetes, and things like that. So these are just a dozen or so warning signs that if we all just sit back and say, listen, am I victim to any of these warning signs? If so, I could be heading down a very dangerous passage, which ultimately could cost me my life.
Well, Bob, hopefully we'll give our listeners something to think about in this regard. I think it's perfectly okay to throw the towel in as long as it's drenched with sweat when you do it.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, listen, we're going to refer our listeners to Over the Airwaves. We'll tell them where to find it in a second. And, Bob, in the meantime, we look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can find the latest edition of Bob's newsletter at overtheairwaves.com. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.